Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio on June 11th, 2021. And we got a nice show for you this morning. My guest just called in, and she is Nancy Lewin, who is the Senior Director over at the ACT Center for Equity in Education. We're going to have a long talk about ACT and how they're working with working for Latino student success. Now, they're working for all student success, but we're going to focus on their work today with Latinos. We're interested in this in their Center for Equity because we are the American – this is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. All right. And what we do over there, we really try to get industry voice, educator voice involved in the never-ending quest for equity and access for all students. We want to invite you to join with us over there. If you go over to ace-ed.org, we archive every podcast over there. You will see the icon for that. And you'll see a gigantic picture of our magazine, Equity and Access, Pre-K-12. And if you click on that, that's our new issue. All right, you're going to love it. It's 95 pages strong. We publish every other month. Everything we do over there is free. So please go over, check it out at ace-ed.org. And as Ed McMahon used to say, here's Nancy. Where is she? There she is. Hi, Nance. It's Larry.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fine. Welcome back to you, lady. It's a pleasure to have you back here.
Well, same here, and I love to always read your Equity magazine for everyone.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's great information.
Thank you. I'm going to praise my partner in this thing, which is Maya Appleby. What you see over there, all that beautiful artwork and production is all her. Okay, she's
wow,
in charge
terrific.
Of editorial. She's pretty amazing, I got to tell you. Thank you for that compliment. We appreciate it. I want you, Dr. Lewin, to tell me about you. Okay, you're Senior Director of ACT Center for Equity. What have you done up till now? Then we'll lead into what the center does. What are you?
Yeah,
who are
absolutely.
You? We'll talk about that.
Well, first
and,
of all,
and tell
I'm
going to
start with...
Wait a minute, Nancy.
Yeah, go ahead.
And tell us why your Twitter is Needly Lou. Go ahead.
That'll be a quick conversation, that's for sure. Needly Lou.
Okay.
Nancy, Lewin, Neely, you know, makes it short. People, it's easy for people to remember, and it kind of rhymes. So
okay,
when people are looking for me on Twitter, it's really easy to tag me, and it's really easy to remember it. That's
cool.
The only
I thought
reason.
I was calling a square dance. Now everybody, Neely Lou.
Absolutely.
Neely Lou.
Well,
I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Dr. Lewin, tell us about yourself, your background.
Ha. Well, it's interesting because you start off by saying Dr. Lewin, and that
yes.
really, really means so very much to me because I'm a first-generation college student
wow.
who was able to achieve a doctorate in just in one
wow.
generation.
That's pretty amazing,
and,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And I started off, thank you so much. And I know if I can do it, everybody else can do it. You just have to have that sheer will, right? But you also have to have opportunities, access, and equity. So, you know, when I was young, I really loved teaching and helping other people. And, you know, I ended up in education. I was a bilingual teacher. I became a school administrator, which there was not very many Latina school administrators at the time.
Where were you?
In Houston, Texas, but not in that greater Houston ISD. I was to the west of it, and it's a school district of like 46,000 students.
Which
in
one?
Just a few square miles, Alief ISD.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and
yeah,
and so
yeah.
I was an administrator. I worked there for 21 years. I worked in a couple of other districts, but then, you know, I got the bug of trying to influence greater circles of individual to really bring equity to the surface. So I was afforded an opportunity to become a special education director in a school system on the Eastern Shore. And after
Eastern
that,
Shore
I was
Maryland?
Promoted.
Wait, Eastern Shore of Maryland?
Yes, of Virginia.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. You know, out by Chincoteague area. You know, the ponies?
I do indeed. I know the ponies, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. And then I got promoted to Chief Academic Officer. And really, I focused a lot of my work to looking at equity and making sure we were addressing the needs of all students there. And then I had a wonderful opportunity to become in the Executive Director of ALAS. And Washington, D.C., it's a national nonprofit.
Oh, I know.
To advance that leadership and so that there are Latinos in leadership roles so that students can see themselves in, you know, leadership roles, but also to have people that truly understand the community and the needs of those varied Latino communities, because Latinos are not all the same.
That is a stereotype that we need to break 100% of the time, that Latinos are all the same. That's one thing that drives me crazy. Okay, it's such a stereotype. It just makes me nuts. That's all I can say about it. I mean, you're talking about a plethora of countries, a plethora of cultures. It's unbelievable that people think, even today, anybody would think that. But go ahead, please. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh no, no worries. And then I found my home in the Center for Equity and Learning at ACT.
Perfect for it.
Because I knew that in that role, we would be able to influence larger, you know, greater numbers of people and reach the community that we're trying to help. And in the case for today's conversation, it's the Latinx community.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel that in my experiences, and in working as an administrator and working as a nonprofit executive director, really were the right skills to bring over to the Center for Equity and Learning.
Yeah, it's perfect. And as far as ALAS, I'm sure you know Maria, the current director.
Yes, I sure do.
Okay, Maria Armstrong. That's right, a wonderful lady. Okay, and we work with her quite often. And you know. And what intrigues me about ALAS, and I know a lot of companies that work with ALAS, et cetera. I just want to go into this for 1 second, considering that's where you came from, okay? And it has to do with what we're going to talk about today. It's extremely important, okay, that all teachers, all right, and all administrators work with groups like ALAS and ACT, okay, in your Center for Equity. We just had a thing this week, I think it was in North Carolina, where a kid ready to graduate, okay, he was a first-generation graduate of an American high school, and he went to his graduation, all right, where over his cap and gown kind of draped a Mexican flag over his shoulders. Did you read about this, Nance?
You know what? I have been, like, back-to-back on my work this week, but I'm definitely going to look at that.
Okay, this is interesting. A nice kid, okay, he wore the Mexican flag, or he wanted to, draped over his shoulders, wearing his cap and gown when he went to receive his diploma, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was stopped by the superintendent or principal, whoever it was, okay, and said, no, you can't do that. That's not the graduation dress code. Okay, and so this young man, who certainly deserved his diploma, was not allowed to receive it at that moment publicly. They gave it to him later, okay? But it was quite a kerfluffle, and rightly so, okay? And the parents, of course, were saddened and shocked by this, okay? Because they were so proud of their son, okay, getting his thing, but... The challenge was, and there were boos and applause from the audience. Nobody really, I don't think, knew what was actually going on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of that. The kid did get his diploma, but it raises the question, okay, of how school districts work with Latino folks, and I'm using Latino in the general stereotype here, okay? Cultures are different. Pride is different. All right, and when you take everything you have done in your magnificent career, Nancy, okay, and then plop that over into the ACT Center for Equity, we know that we got the right person there who starts to understand these things and can explain it to everybody, okay, in the right position or as a senior director over the Center for Equity. And that's what I'm trying to say here. There's a brave new world starting now. Okay, and we have to recognize the difference in culture in these kids, et cetera, and celebrate along with them. Your thoughts, then we'll get into the details. That's my speech for today.
Well, you know, the education someone receives, right, no one can take it from you, but we also have to have value and appreciate the fact of where we started and where we've come from.
Yep.
Because that makes us who we are, right? That makes us the individuals we are. And whether we were born in another country and came to the U.S., whether we were U.S.-born Latinos, that's still part of you. You know, you have roots. And it's very difficult to ask someone to remove their roots.
Thank you.
And give up something.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to have pride in who you are and what you are. I think it's just wonderful. And point being that we all have to learn to work with each other. Things are going to be a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable, a lot less aggravating, if I may. Okay, when we start to really understand each other deeply, deeply, deeply. And I have to ask you this. We'll get into ACT in a second. You use the term Latinx, and we also use Latino, and we also use Hispanic. Okay, which one actually? You know this. Which one actually feels most comfortable? Okay.
Well, you know what? The easy answer would be say, oh, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
But it really depends on
there
who you
no
are.
One. Yeah.
Right? And how you feel the connection to it. You know, if you think of individuals who say Hispanic, that implies from Spanish descendancy, that implies from Spain. And you know, if you say Latino, you're looking at, you know, some of the Central American, you know, countries or, you know, of that, the group of individuals that are from Latino countries. And, you know, it's interesting because there's all a variety of different names. But I think it really boils down to who the individual is and what they feel most tied to and most connected to. Now, when you're talking with, you know, organizations and school systems and structures and or the federal government names or, you know, the Department of Education, they make a specific choice and that's what they call it. So you almost have to figure out how to maneuver with, you know, within the context of what you're reading or what organization is putting it out to see which one it's going to be, honestly.
What's your favorite, Dr. Lewin? What's your favorite?
Okay. I know for some of the originals, they like to stick with Latino, right? But I personally like Latinx. And
there
the only reason that I personally like Latinx, and see, here's where a person would specify their individual druthers, right? One, Latinx implies, you know, because in Spanish you have female-male gender, right? And so just think about the Declaration of Independence. You know, it was always for man, but which men, right? Well, that's the same way I feel. When you say Latino, and that's the word used for everything, well, what about the female, right?
Latina.
So for me, when I say Latinx, it could mean either or, right? So I don't feel left out as a female, as a woman. And, you know, being an assertive advocate, I prefer Latinx.
I like that answer, actually. And I like that because I never thought of it as a gender thing. Okay, so I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That helps, all right? I'd love it. This is just a wonderful conversation. I love talking all this, but I want to get into the ACT, okay? From ALAS to ACT, you're the senior director of the Center for Equity, okay? And talk to me about what ACT, which is the testing company, but it goes way beyond that, everybody. Talk about what they're doing, what you're doing on a regular basis to make sure that it opens the door. It opens the world of opportunity for everybody, and that's what you're trying to do. We don't want to let kids miss out on the opportunity, which means we miss out on the opportunity. Okay, so you're on. What's ACT doing with all this?
So, you know, I remember being in high school and thinking, ACT, SAT, oh, that's a test. Well, you know, ACT is not just really a test. It really is a comprehensive set of tools and resources that help individuals document their skills and competencies. And then you can take that information and do something with it. If there's a skill you need to work on, then you have time to work on it. If there's something you're really good at, you can say, hey, this is representative of my skill level and my knowledge, and this is a strength that I bring to whatever situation, whether it's going to college or whether it's in your future career. But it really, you know, ACT's tools serve to drive individual to improvement in any area, at any, you know, given stage. You know, you might say, okay, I'm a young high school student, I'm going to take the test, and I want to improve in math, you know, so you take it your junior year, and then you take it again a few more times, and then you see the improvement. But the test is not the only thing. There's so many other things, resources that are available, because, you know, you can't look and, you know, you can say in hindsight, oh, I should have done that, I should have practiced this, I should have studied this, and having the information ahead of time, you know, having you're looking at some information when you're a freshman in high school or in eighth grade, gives you the opportunity to do it a little bit at a time instead of figuring out your senior year, oh my gosh, look at these things that I haven't done. And we have some tools and free resources. And a matter of fact, we have them in Spanish for parents and students to be able to read through and help them maneuver through the U.S. education system, because it is difficult to maneuver. Believe me, Larry, it is.
I believe you it is. And actually, you bring up an interesting point right there. If people are from Mexico or any other Spanish-speaking country or Portuguese-speaking country, if I may, okay, they're from a different country. The school system is different. They come here, and we have a system, and I can't speak for all those other countries, we want the parents involved. Okay, that can be difficult. That can be culturally difficult for someone because of language barriers and cultural barriers. They may not be used to that where they're from, okay? Or they may not be used to the level of activity we want from a parent, all right? It's very difficult. Then you take that, and now you start a college application, a college readiness program. You know, what in heck are we talking about here? So outline for me, if you can, because believe me, Nancy, you're proving this to us. You have lived through this. Go into some specifics about the resources that ACT provides.
Right. You know, we have some resources.
I'm going to keep making my speeches, by the way. I'm loving doing my speeches today.
Sure, okay. Sure.
But this stuff really concerns me. Yeah, it just
because
really
concerns
me.
Yeah, you're bringing up really, really great points. You know, you
Thank
can't
you.
Do something that you don't know you have or you need.
Exactly.
Or that is available, right? So you can't take benefit from that if you don't have access to tools. Well, you know, ACT has really taken on the desire to make sure that we have information to provide to parents, to provide to students so that they – so let me give you a couple examples of what we have
Please.
Out there.
Yeah.
So we have a tool, and we have it in English, and we have it in Spanish. And, for example, there's an electronic book you can go to on the website. If you go to www.act/student or estudiante, you'll see it in Spanish.
That's great.
For example, if you have a student coming in their freshman year into high school, the parent and students can already look and take advantage of the resource that shares with them, what do you do your freshman year? These are some of the things you need to plan. These are some of the things that you need to do. Mm-hmm. What do you do your sophomore year? And it's very specific. And if you see this ahead of time, you know where you're going, right? It's not like going blindly on a trip without knowing what road you're going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to arrive where you need to be. You want to arrive at, you know, a safe space and a great location, right? But you have to know how to get there. And sometimes it's very difficult because students and parents who don't know that these things need to be done don't always, you know, get that information to be able to help support their parent, their student in getting there. You know, some parents don't know about the importance of a GPA or, you know, the number, you know, you graduate in your graduation cohort. So it's really important for them to receive as much information as possible. And as a matter of fact, Larry, I know we might talk about it a little bit on the show later on, but we have at this point reached over 1 million Spanish-speaking yeah. individuals.
Wow.
With our Univision Facebook Lives to provide specific information on the importance of, you know, college enrollment and here's some resources, here's how you get there, you know, the importance of FAFSA and how you help pay your, you know, for your college career, you know, college education. There's so many things on our website, but if people don't know they're there, it's hard for them
That's
to
right.
use them. So we're trying That's to right. make sure we're reaching people where they are.
Right, and also I might add some point. I want you to talk more about the Univision thing because there's always, that's not accurate. There can be a problem, okay, with access to the Internet once kids are home. Okay, we learned that this year with this stinky pandemic,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk about what you're doing with Univision, please. That's very important, and Facebook.
Right, so you know, things were in person before COVID hit, we had a pivot. And, you know, we usually were on the ground. We'd go do parent fairs to directly speak to the community, share information, give them resources. But we didn't have that chance to do face-to-face. So we had a pivot. And you know what? Honestly, you know, when you see a challenge like COVID, you look at all the tough spots, right, all the challenges. But I can say this: there was honestly something good that came out of it because we went virtual with doing Facebook Lives, and we were able to reach so many more people across the country than instead of just those few at that one parent fair who had the transportation to get there, who had the information and the knowledge, and who could take off of work to be there. Right.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to bring that up. A lot of things, I hate to say this because so many people, especially in the Latino and African-American communities, but so many people were sick and died, okay? But there were some mm-hmm. good things to come out of the pandemic, and we did realize a few things that we were missing before because we hadn't realized them. So it's kind of like every ship after the Titanic had enough lifeboats. Suddenly we realized,
right.
oh, yeah, we could have done that to begin with, you know? So the
right.
pandemic in that way helped. Okay, but boy,
it's
incredible. So you had a lot of people using Facebook and understanding what was going on via Univision, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what's more is that the Facebook Lives were videotaped so that people can access it in the future. So if I were to go back and look at the metrics, I'm sure that we would have a lot more than 1 million, you know. I want to know when we hit the 2 million mark, honestly, because that means someone heard it. And what's more is that there's, you know, they can share it so they can forward it to friends and family. And that is the most important way that, you know, community works, like the Latino community, by word of mouth, by knowing it worked for someone, by knowing that this is a trusted, you know, information, trusted site, trusted organization. And so it's much easier for them to hear it in their language and to, of course, engage and take action.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, I said this before. We always think of Latino, and we think of Latinx, excuse me. We think of Spanish. But of course, we let's lump in some Portuguese in there. Do we also use the Portuguese language with all of this? I don't know the answer to that at all.
Yeah. You know, I've got to say, Larry, we have to look at everything because there are individual students who were born in other countries and came to the U.S., you know, young, you know, and they became part of the American education system. But there are many individuals who were born here that still need that Spanish access.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
Then there is also some that they sometimes, you know, dropped their first language and just speak English. So, you know, we need to consider all of these different factors. So we know we're reaching, you know, our English-speaking Latinos, but
mm-hmm.
we needed to make sure that we were reaching our Spanish-speaking Latino audience because,
mm-hmm.
you know, by 2030, roughly 30% of our population in K-12 students will be of Latino descent.
Good.
So we really need to make sure we're reaching our community.
Right. It's just so, it's so important right across the board. I want to ask you something else, Nancy. I believe we talked about this before. One of the great challenges, and this goes to anyone in a lower socioeconomic situation, okay? How I believe this is, I'm correct here. Is ACT helping people financially with any of this? Is there a way to help people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, we really make sure that, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is, right? We want to support them.
In this case, literally, yeah.
Literally, exactly.
Yeah.
And we do have fee waivers available to those students who meet the requirements. And usually it's like, you know, having free and reduced lunch.
Sure.
You know, just, there's a varied requirements. And, you know, usually the schools have that information. So it's really important for parents to know, to prompt their student or even to help call the counselor and say, hey, do we qualify for a fee waiver? And so we have that accessible, and we're trying to get that information out to all our audiences, not just the Latino audience. But we did that on Univision Facebook Live. And, you know, students can take that, the assessment, they can take it up to four times. They can now take advantage of the super score that is going to be begin September. And that way they can put their best foot forward, you know, if they retake a portion of the test and they improve their score, they use that to calculate the composite score, and that's their super score.
Stop. I don't know anything about this. What is this?
Wow.
Super score.
Oh, my gosh, Larry. Oh, it's something fantastic. It's called a super score, okay? So let's just say in the past, you know, you were a student, you took your ACT test, and you, you know, you got your score. And you think, you know what, I have, you know, I'm in 11th grade, I'm going to take it again because I want to see if I improve. And usually when students take the test more than once, they usually improve.
Right.
But when a student thinks about it, oh, it's a whole other 4 hours that I have to sit again, right? And so the super score is of great benefit to the student because the student can take the whole test once. They know where they, you know, fall as far as their skill level in each of the subtest areas. And then they can say, you know what, I really want to improve my math score. And they study their math section. There's, of course, practice tests. There's, of course, information available on our website for students to kind of get that plan. Because once you take your test, it helps you, you know, develop a plan for you to take if you want to improve. So that student uses the plan for math, right? They think through it, they take the time, and then they just go back and enroll just to take that one test. And, you know, chances are they're really going to improve. So, you know, the last time you scored an 18, but this time you scored a 21, guess what happens? You replace the 18 with the 21, and now you have a new composite score.
The 18, the first time you take it, will disappear. It just disappears. Well,
it'll be in your records, but the 21 will
be used
to create your composite score. Yeah, so it's not it'll, you know, you will show up better to the university. You'll show up better to show that, you know, it's a predictor of how you're going to do at the college when you get there. So if you show that you did that, you know, that you now have a 21 and that's part of your composite score, you know, you've shown a lot of skill. Number one, tenacity, right, to stick with it and take the test again. And then two, that you took the time and effort and you were able to study and improve your score. And that's what colleges need, right?
Without question. I never asked this before, Nance. People take ACTs all over the world, right?
Yes.
I'm just going to ask it this way. If I'm an American, I take a test. But I'm going to say down in Peru, and I take the test, I'm just using Peru as an example. I take the test in Peru. Is it the same test?
Larry, you know what? You're making me make that clear delineation. I would need to talk to our international ACT test leads for that because I do not want to give you a wrong answer, and I know how to admit when I don't know.
I don't mean to put you on the spot. I appreciate your honest answer there. The reason I'm asking is because if I'm just asking, you know, throwing this out there, I'm just making it up again, if your kid is from Guatemala, okay, and you have a test that's geared for a person from Guatemala, it's easier, which brings me to the next question, which you guys I know work on all the time, all right? There's this whole movement out there, which I think is good, for cultural relevance in education, all right? Knowing that, does the test differ here for each kid? Okay, in other words, do we build in culturally relevant questions for a kid? I'm just curious.
And that is always a focus. That is always, you know, central to when you're creating something, that you want to make sure that you're being culturally sensitive,
It's hard to do.
However, I know that our test, you know, item developers are working really hard. You know, I know that I'm collaborating with another group within, and they're really taking close looks at the new text. I mean, because, you know, they can't use the same test all the time, right? So you have to keep on adding and changing. And they're being very careful. They're really looking at being culturally sensitive, at being inclusive, at not continuing the systemic issues that, you know, continue to reoccur. So I know that as far as items and text for the exam, I know that everyone is looking very closely at it and taking action toward it.
It is so hard to do that, and I just wish you the best of luck of that, because I think you're going to succeed at it. It's just so important to make these kids feel comfortable. I have to ask you, I don't know, from your background, okay, are your mom and dad, I got this impression earlier that they emigrated from somewhere?
Well, this is what's interesting. You know, I'm from South Texas. Like, I'm in Austin, but currently in Austin. But I grew up in South Texas. And if you know something about the history, we didn't cross the border. The border crossed us of where my parents grew up. And that's kind of our story, you know. We were there way before the existence of Texas, and like my dad's dad and his grandfather and his great grandfather were from Rio Grande City, and the border went up and down, you know. So, So it's really hard to say, did they immigrate or not?
That's a great piece of history. That's a great.
And you know what, Larry? I wanted to share
that's
something, because we talked about the fee waiver supports. But did you know that there's other supports? There's something EL support. They're EL accommodations. So, for example, if you have a student who is, you know, that English is not their first language, when they enroll, they use their fee waiver, they enroll to take the test, they can select that they need EL accommodations, and they could get accommodations like some extra time, a word-to-word dictionary. So, like, there's not the definition of the word is not there, but, like, the word, like, if they're using a Spanish language dictionary, you would see, like, the English word and what the Spanish word is. They might qualify for being in a smaller group setting. So the requirements, the accommodations that we provide, you can find them on our website. But, you know, you have to, when you enroll, you have to say, yes, I need them. And you have that support, you know, when you take the test. You know, the directions can be read to you in your language.
Oh.
So it really, really helpful to students.
I hope every kid takes advantage of this that needs it. I have to get back to, okay, when you talk, I have to ask you this because I'm an old history teacher. What you just said about the border just struck me. I think it's something nobody really understands. For God's sakes, I live in Maine. I was born in Philadelphia. Okay, I'm as far from the border as you get, from that border as you can get. Okay, and I'm just curious, when your mom and dad think back to their mom and dad, okay, your grandparents or whoever, do they think of them as American or Mexican as the border kept changing? That's a fascinating piece of information. I love it.
Well, it's really, really interesting because now let's throw in the Native American feature. Okay.
My guest.
So,
go ahead.
So I did, of course, you know, those genetic testing things, and I'm 48% Native American. So if you look at the Native American, I have some, from you know, Mexico area Native American and from Texas area Native American.
Wow.
So, you know, it's really hard to say, am I fully this or fully that? Because
yeah.
there's a lot of mixture involved, but it's how you culturally grew up that you kind of
okay.
hold to, right?
Right.
And so it was how they culturally felt, you know, they were, you know, we were on the U.S. side, we were American citizens, but you still have that core of, you know, the advice and the things people shared with you and things like that. So that's why it's so important that when we're looking at our students and having these, like, connections with their families in them, that we understand that they bring such great strengths. And we need to work on that, you know, just like when they go to university, in order for them to get there, they need supports. But when they're there, they also need to have supports that value their culture, that ask them what their needs are. It's interesting because one of the organizations that we collaborate with is Excelencia in Education, and they were part of our this past May's Univision ACT webinar that we had, and there was some wonderful information there. Dr. Deborah Santiago shared that there are currently 569 HSIs, Hispanic Serving Institutions, and you know there's just a kind of a requirement that 25% of the students, if 25% of your students enrolled are of Latino descent, then you're considered an HSI and you get funds from the government, you can get grants. But she pushes and challenges, which that's why I so truly believe in her data and what she does, is because she says, don't be complacent with just enrolling the student. What about having them graduate successfully?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And keeping them in college. And that's
Absolutely.
The key. You don't want to just say you're an HSI, but you want to say you're a quality HSI. And that's what's so important. We need to make sure that we have the student voice and the community needs. And when we're creating programs that are going to support our Latinos in school, that's so crucial. It just can't be a generic program. It has to be one that is truly needed by the students. But then also, you know, that they value that culture and that the culture feels included and welcome at your school or in your program.
So how lucky does ACT know they are to have you running the Center for Equity? How lucky are they?
Well,
should we go to Vegas with them? Because they're very lucky. They,
no.
they have the exact right person.
But in truth, I'm going to say Tina Gridiron Smith is our vice president, so technically I'm not the lead.
Yeah.
I'm one of the leaders, but she's a phenomenal leader and CEL, and so much energy. But you know why she and I work together well, right? It's because we just have this undying passion to make sure that we bring equity and do everything we possibly can
you really share
that information that ACT has, research, you know, data, links that are helpful to parents so that they have the information to make the best decisions with, and that, you know, we truly are supporting all our community in the successful college trajectory and completion.
You do a magnificent job, and I'll tell you, you not only bring your educated and experienced self to the party, you bring your cultural self to the party, and that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you guys should be so proud of what you're doing at your Center for Equity. I just think it's all wonderful. Thanks, Nance. I appreciate all this.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you for highlighting those things, because you know what? When we make a difference in people's lives, it improves the condition of man, and isn't that what we want for everyone?
It is what we want, I'll say this without hesitation. ACT, okay, opens the door for opportunity for people, okay? And you guys are not holding back, all right? And so I
Absolutely.
Hope everybody listening, all these educators that listen, all these school counselors who listen, okay, go over to the website, okay, the Center for Equity, ACT Center for Equity, just Google it, all right? And the resources that are there for your students that need them are just incredible, okay? So check it all out. You guys are doing it. Thank you, Dr. Nancy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry, and I look forward to us having another conversation. I like getting in good trouble. quote. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I'll tell you, Kimmy, I'm curious about the difference in testing that we asked about before. So see if you can get me an answer for that. I love it. I'd love to do a show on that. That's just great. Okay?
Absolutely. We'll definitely find out.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Nance, have a good day. Okay? Great weekend. All right?
You too. Happy Friday. Bye.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye. Dr. Nancy Lewin, everybody, who's the Senior Director for ACT Center for Equity in Education. Just Google that. I mean, it's just amazing what's out there. Okay? Just amazing. We'll archive the show at ace-ed.org. Nancy gave us that great assessment of our magazine, Equity and Access. It is a good magazine. You'll love it. At ace-ed.org, where this and all of our podcasts are archived. Everybody, and as Nancy said, have a good weekend. Bye-bye.